following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a Flying Ace Friday on the Huge Show across Michigan, presented by Flying Ace Small Batch American-Made Whiskeys. Look for it in local stores all across Michigan or online at FlyingAceSpirits.com. It is a Flying Ace Friday on the Huge Show across Michigan.
Are you ready for huge opinions on the Lions, Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Michigan, MSU, and every sports team in the state of Michigan? It's time for The Huge Show. From the east side to the west side to the UP, The Huge Show is on air statewide on the Michigan Sports Network. Voice your huge opinions now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843.
You ready?
Now, the huge one, Bill Simonson.
What's up, Michigan? It is time to get together on the only syndicated statewide afternoon sports radio show, 19 stations strong, for the one close to you. Go to thehugeshow.net. There you can listen to the free stream weekdays 3 until 6. And also on the iHeart app, search The Huge Show, and you can listen anywhere in the world where you get mobile service. Inside this broadcast, we'll talk about the Michigan Spring Game Scrimmage, the Michigan State Showcase. Oh, it's the showcase. Coach Smith, his first spring as head coach of the Spartans. Coach Moore, his first spring as head coach of the Wolverines. We'll break it down. Chris Ballas, Anthony Broom, Clayton Safey from thewolverine.com will join us. Jim Brandstatter, former voice of Michigan football. On the Spartan side, Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com, will check in. Graham Couch, the opinion maker from the Lansing State Journal and the Couch in the Room podcast, my favorite podcast when I want to find out everything Michigan State. We got a big show. And also, Rob Bentley from Ferris will join us. Ferris has their spring game tonight at Top Taggart Field. Early start, I think around 5:30. We'll go until what, 8 o'clock or so, give or take. So if you're a Bulldog fan, go see Tony Anise and the Dogs. Woof, woof. Their spring game tonight. I see the Michigan game is on Fox tomorrow. And I think it states on the Big Ten Network. I'll have to double check that. I wish Michigan State and Michigan would do what an Alabama or even Ohio State did. Make this spring game a big event. Market it. Build it up. Either school. One of you. Both of you. Neither did it. It's like, I get this feeling when it comes to the spring game, like they're doing it because they have to. That's how it feels from East Lansing and Ann Arbor. So we'll talk about that game. We'll also get to the political game going on. President Biden's administration just decided that they're going to expand Title IX protections on their own, change the rules, and they're going to add gender identity to the same protections that Title IX has provided for more than 50 years to women. Now they're going to allow males who identify as a female to be free from sex discrimination in our nation's schools. There's an interesting twist here because they say, well, the transgendered athletes proposal isn't included. They're going to wait until after November, which is what? The election. So you got the political agenda side of this. But with the way their new rule reads, that gender identity and a person who identifies a male as a female in a high school or college will be free from discrimination. So what I'm thinking that if I run a school district, if I run a university or college or junior college, and an athlete wants to play on our team, see, it's going to be different at college compared to pros or compared to high school. Pros can do what they want to do. They're free of Title IX. So if you're a high school and a boy wants to go run track, and you see the new Title IX expanded rules, which are just done unilaterally by the Biden administration, and it says that the nation's school shall be free from sex discrimination, and you don't allow that boy to play on a girls' team, aren't you violating that Title IX? Forget a provision that says transgendered athletes can play. And this is more at the high school level than the college level. And I know there aren't 100,000 athletes doing this. But when you look at this discrimination, and you look at gender identity, and you look at the locker room and the bathroom conversation, we're not talking about people who have had operations, who have become a full-fledged woman from a male born at birth. We're talking about identity here. And you've had issues at school districts. Superfly brought up one at Rockford, north of Grand Rapids. Where are the parents' rights if the kid isn't 18, if they're saying they're not going to allow that child to identify as a female? Are you stripping away the parental rights in this? I will reach out to Mark Ewell and the Michigan High School Athletic Association. I don't think anybody, this is such a delicate topic. Because I don't believe in discriminating against anybody. But we are talking on the sports side of this, the competitive advantage. I just saw the story out of West Virginia where four middle school girls refused to throw the shot because a boy who identified as a girl was throwing the shot in their high school, junior high track and field meet. Title IX was established to protect women, schools, from girls, women, it goes beyond sports. Where are all the women who have fought for Title IX for more than 50 years? Title IX has provided an equal opportunity to learn and thrive in our nation's schools, as the story reads from ABC. You're not discriminating when you allow that person. This is the very vague area that I just mentioned. If it's a boy at a, I'm going to make up a high school, at Lake Michigan High, because I don't want to single out a district, and he identifies as a woman, but he's 16, and his parents don't approve. You got that hornet's nest, which the education laws say that the parents have a right in every decision until a kid is 18, even though I've been through it with my kid's school district where they would allow kids to make decisions saying, well, we need to empower them. No, you don't. You got laws. So if that boy at Lake Michigan High identifies as a girl against his parents' wishes, he's 16. We'll say 15. We'll say a sophomore. And he wants to play on the girls' volleyball team. But they tell him no. Well, there's not a boys' volleyball team at Lake Michigan High. So are you discriminating against them? That's one part of the hornet's nest. Now let's go to a sport where it is offered at Lake Michigan High for boys and girls. So we'll go to basketball. And this boy, who is 15, sophomore, wants to play JV girls basketball, because he identifies as a girl, but he was born a male. And the school says, no, you'll have to play on the boys' team. Are you discriminating against him? That's going to be the vague area here where these schools, where the Michigan High School Athletic Association, where colleges are going to say, discrimination is when you deny somebody an opportunity. He was born a male. There is a male team he can try out for, even if he identifies as a woman. So are you discriminating? No, that's what I've always said about this transgendered sports argument. It is not discrimination. It is not exclusion. The bigger concern I have when I look beyond sports are bathrooms and locker rooms and dressing rooms, and you're at a school play and a boy identified as a girl wants to change with the girls. The parental rights are being stripped away. Michigan law states that you have a right to educational decisions at a school to be involved unless there's an agreement or a court order or you're barred from it until you're 18. And the sports side of this, and I know some will say, well, Bill, there's hardly any cases in the state of Michigan. Okay. But if you have limited cases, you still are taking away spots from girls, from women. And there's the competitive advantage, which to me is not discrimination. That we are denying you a spot on that team because of competitive advantage, not discrimination, not based on who you identify as. By the way, your parents have not agreed with your gender identity. Thus, you will remain under the boy category at Lake Michigan High by the law. It's interesting, all this Title IX rulings were changed without any discussion. And they held off on, well, we're not going to go to the transgendered athletes. And a lot of people are saying, well, this protects sports. Well, does it? Because if you look at their new wording, that these final regulations, this is U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona, on the revision, quote, these final regulations build on the legacy of Title IX by clarifying that all of our nation's students can access schools that are safe, welcoming, and respect their rights. What rights do you have as a 14-year-old in high school or a 7-year-old in fourth grade? I just saw in DeWitt, for our listeners on the game, 7:30 a.m., they sent a note to fourth grade parents that they were having a pronoun class and how to be sensitive to others for fourth graders. And a parent by the name of Adam Castillo stood up to the school, went to the school district office, and they canceled that class. Because as a parent, you could opt out. But they're still going to teach that. And the question is, why is a school assuming the role of parents? Every household isn't perfect. It isn't cut out of some movie script. And we watched it during COVID where parental rights were stripped away. Choices were taken away from the parents by politicians, by school boards, by superintendents who would send us notes about the medical side of COVID. Not a doctor from the Forest Hills Public School District, but the superintendent telling me about what's best medically for my children. And now you're going to tell me what's best for my kids or the other children all across Michigan and America when it comes to sports or changing in a bathroom, dressing room, locker room, backstage, whatever, band, you name it. And what's going to happen is that people are going to stop playing those sports. That's what's going to happen. And the people who will stop will be more women than there will be men. And that's not about equality. And even though they want to say, well, it doesn't involve sports right now, you can read the rules the way they've been adjusted. And a school district is going to warn every single teacher, coach, every department, not just sports, we can't discriminate. And what I do applaud is that I am seeing young girls across this country step up and say they won't compete against that male, whether it's a middle school or a high school. I don't know politically how any mother any girl, anybody 18, anybody who has children, any man, any grandmother, any aunt, uncle, how you can vote for anybody who wants to try and deny a chance for your daughter. And I know some will say, well, wait a minute, what about somebody who identifies as a female and gender identity? We're not talking about discrimination or exclusion. There is a boys team they can try out for. Well, you're taking away how they identify. Gender identity is what you feel. There is nothing biological about it because you were born a male or you're born a female. No one's excluding you from trying out for any team. Whether you're an Ivy League swimmer, why don't you go swim on the boys' team? You want to dominate the women? Did that clear your mind? Federations around the world are banning the transgender athletes from competition, not from every competition. This isn't isolating people wanting to put them on an island that they can only play sports there. They're saying you have to play in the sport you were born into. Michigan High School Athletic Association, we have talked about this topic multiple times with Mark Ewell on an MHSAA Wednesday. They have a medical process that is overseen by doctors that if a student wants to, who was born a male, wants to play female sports, medically it has to be cleared. Again, the Michigan High School Athletic Association will have a fair and equal plan, and our government has made this a political pawn in an election year. Why? I don't know. Because I believe, like I said, every grandmother, every aunt, every dad, every grandfather, you have a granddaughter, you have a niece, you have a daughter, you're going to look at this and say, what? That my school may allow a boy to change with my daughter? Well, we're going to put bathrooms in for everybody. How does that not look like separation? And the sports side of this is about the competitive advantage. It has nothing to do with who you love, who you think you are, or what you want to be when you grow up. But people trying to tell me that a fifth grader identifying as a female or somebody who's underage has that right and a parent has no say, but the school and the government does? No way. And I believe that the voice of America is through votes. From your school boards to your city to your county to your state to federal elections. And their voice will be heard louder than ever before. And the question is out there, does your vote matter? I believe it does. I really do. And you vote that school board out. You petition to force that superintendent out. You don't let a teacher's union run your kids' lives. And no, I'm not talking about discriminating against one soul. I wish everybody a happy life. And there are opportunities in a high school on all those sports teams. No matter how you identify, you gay, you straight, you transgender, you want to go play baseball, you can try out and play. But gender-identifying male athletes who want to dominate middle school and high school and college-age girls, or even Megan Rapinoe or Sue Bird, who after their illustrious careers, which were protected by Title IX, want to tell us that it's okay for gender-identifying athletes to take a spot on the U.S. national teams. Parents have rights, which is, if you notice, the parental rights haven't been mentioned anywhere. It's a political year, and we go through things like this every 4 years. But I believe this time they have crossed a line that will unite everybody, regardless of gender. And those who vote for school boards who vote for city elections, county elections, state elections, and federal elections all across this country will have their voices heard. That's my huge opinion, and I'm sticking with it.
From Grand Rapids to Detroit, this show is huge.
June 23rd, the world's most notorious rock band is coming to Soaring Eagle Casino. Motley Crue. The Crue. Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets start at $54 and are on sale now at the box office and online at etix.com. Party hard, then take a ride on the wild side. Motley Crue. Sunday, June 23rd. At Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here with a special thank you to 3 of our partners who are helping bring the 313 NFL Draft Party on Thursday, April 25th to life in downtown Detroit. Josh Garvey and the team at Dorn Mayhew, one of the world's top accounting, CPA, and business firms. Josh is a great man, and that company is doing great things. Josh heads up the GR office. Also, Matt Golden, the CEO of the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. They're set to open up both courses at the end of the month, and you can book a stay-and-play package. Or if you want to take care of business and mix in a little pleasure on the golf course, great food, beverages, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com. Book your stay-and-play package or schedule your next event less than an hour north of GR. And also to the team at Coppercraft Distillery. They're the home of Honolulu Blue. If you're a Lions fan, you need to be drinking Honolulu Blue. Thanks for your help with the 313 Draft Party.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge Show is back live across Michigan, the only show willing to tell like it is. We're all about huge opinions, yours and mine. Superfly Hayes is our executive producer. Jim Comperoni will join us in a few moments on Michigan State Spring Football Showcase tomorrow in East Lansing. I think that starts around 2 o'clock. Michigan's at noon on Fox. Chris Ballas, Anthony Broom, Clayton Safey from the Wolverine.com will join us to talk about their spring game. We'll also get the latest on the NFL draft. And I did see college football is going to adopt a 2-minute warning. Oh, and they're going to have communication inside the helmets for the quarterback. Oh, isn't that nice? They're going to do communication now. Really? And their new spokesperson is Connor Stallions. Oh, man, I love it. We do have our Flying Ace Whiskey huge question of the day that you can answer. 1-866-838-4843. That's 1-866-838-HUGE. Add Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show. On Facebook, also opt in on the Roast Umber Coffee text chain. Text HUGE to 21,000. That's HUGE to 21,000. Huge question of the day. What's your first impression on the Lions' new unis? I love the blue helmet and the black and the all black. That's my favorite. It is. I don't like the white. I don't like the white set, and I can deal with the Honolulu blue set. There's just something really cool and intimidating about that blue helmet and the black uniform kit. I love it. So that's our Flying Ace Whiskey huge question of the day. You can answer that one, 866-838-4843. That's 1-866-838-HUGE. I think Jim Comperoni, SpartanMeg.com, the MSU insider standing by. I want to get his thoughts on Coach Smith's first spring event, the showcase, tomorrow at Spartan Stadium. How you doing, Comp?
Hey, great, Bill. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're a Lions fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I like the Lions from a casual standpoint. I'm not an expert on roster building at that level by any means. But yeah, I've enjoyed the Lions over the decades. Yeah, I'm a Lions fan.
I don't want to ask you any football related, but have you seen the new jerseys, the black, the Honolulu blue, and the white?
I did, and I didn't have any really strong opinions on them. I like how one of the jerseys says Detroit on the front. I think that's new. Have they done that in the past?
No, it said Lions before. I noticed that yesterday when I was talking to Dan Miller, voice of the Lions. I do like that.
Yeah, aside from the color schemes and color combinations, that's all cool and everything. I like that Detroit on the front. That's new, and I like that. I mean, Detroit is, you know, those of us in the state of Michigan, we you know, there's some pride for the state of Detroit and the comeback that city's had, and it's always been tough. And there's something about putting that on the front of a football jersey that I really like.
Jim Comperoni, he likes Michigan State, SpartanMeg.com. Okay, spring ball will conclude tomorrow for Spartan fans going to East Lansing. Weather's supposed to be close to 50, some sunshine, good day for football. What can they expect?
It's going to be 10 minutes. There's going to be 10-minute quarters, running time, scrimmaging. There's not enough depth on the offensive line to divide the roster into two competitive teams. So you'll see some first string against first string defense, first string offense against second string defense, and vice versa, and some twos versus twos. I think the more meaningful reps will be one.
Does he keep bumping his phone? I think he does. Did he do that last time? I think he's moving his phone around like his, and you hit it with your chin. Will you call him back? I'm doing a live statewide show on 19 stations. I got to talk about the Michigan State spring game, the Michigan spring game tomorrow. I got Graham Couch later. Opinion maker for the Lansing State Journal, Jim Comperoni, SpartanMeg.com. We got the draft is 6 days away. We got our huge 313 draft party at the Caucus Club. If you want to win tickets, we got 5-pair VIP passes. Go to Add Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook. I think Comp is back. How you doing, buddy?
I'm okay, Bill. I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you get disconnected. What's he doing? What are you doing? What's he doing? What's he doing? Are you hanging up on him? That's twice. Dial him on another number. I just got a text from somebody on the Roast Umber text chain. The dial tone sounds better than your huge opinions. Okay, we now play Comp. Are you bumping it with your chin maybe? You holding the phone?
I think so. I think we're okay now.
Okay, we're good. Don't worry. I went off on Superfly. I blamed him for hanging up on you. Okay.
No, but as far as what we'll see in the scrimmage, Aiden Childs, the quarterback, a transfer from Oregon State, all kinds of talent, live arm, good foot speed, had some experience this year as a true freshman at Oregon State. You know, Bill, I've been around here for three and a half decades watching practice, and there's been some good quarterbacks that have come through Michigan State, some NFL quarterbacks. But in terms of a freshman, I don't think I've ever seen a more talented freshman at Michigan State at the quarterback position. That does not guarantee he's going to be good at the college level. You still have to make reads as a quarterback. But the arm and the accuracy and the talent, I think you'll see it on Saturday. I think Michigan State fans will be interested to see what he looks like. The defense has been ahead of the offense thus far in the spring. So I'm not sure what the pass protection is going to look like. I'm not sure how well the wide receivers are going to do in terms of getting open. But the quarterback skill and talent is really good on this freshman. Has a lot to learn, a lot to show. But that's going to be an interesting thing for fans to get a first look at in terms of being there in person, seeing him in person. He's a talented quarterback.
My intel tells me that people who have seen practices, people connected to the program, that Childs might be the best dual threat quarterback that's ever put on a Michigan State uniform.
I would not dispute that. That could be the case. And I tell you what, Bill, I'm kind of expecting that to be the case. I want to be hesitant about the hype. You know, the hype can get out of control, and sometimes it's not fair to a young athlete. But in terms of dual threat capabilities, Drew Stanton ended up being really good. He didn't come to Michigan State regarded as a runner. And in the NFL, he was more of a statue in the pocket. But when he was 21, 22 years old, he had some really good running ability. He was a really good dual threat quarterback. He was kind of awkward in his own way, but effective. The bad thing about Stanton is he never played on a team that had a good defense, so they never won a lot of games. But in terms of dual threat capability and kind of an awkward way, Drew Stanton is probably the standard. This guy's a completely different look to him in terms of being a smooth athlete. Drew Stanton was athletic, but it wasn't very smooth at times. This guy's smooth, arm strength, quickness. You know, he had some plays last year for Oregon State, zone read option, keeper, good acceleration. How much do they do that this year? Do they want to keep him healthy? Remains to be seen. But yes, in terms of dual talent quarterback position, as you know, I've been here a long time, and just off the cuff from the jump, we haven't seen anyone like him at Michigan State. Aiden Childs has some talent.
I made the prediction a month ago on air. I think when spring ball started, a couple weeks in when I got some of that intel, I think Aiden Childs will be all Big Ten at quarterback when the season's over come December. Michigan State will be a bowl team. I'm going to go 6-6 minimum. Could be an 8-4 team next year. I think quarterback triggers an entirely different season. I think the guys he's brought in who know his system, I think Coach Smith has pushed every button the right way. He's a football guy. I know they haven't played any games, but you have a quarterback, you can do some damage, maybe kind of like a right now poor man's Jaden Daniels type quarterback like he was at Arizona State, where he had three offensive coordinators and Herm Edwards didn't know anything about using him the right way, and Brian Kelly did and made him a Heisman winner at LSU. But Childs, I think, will be the real deal. The question is beyond the quarterback, and you mentioned not enough offensive linemen even to have, you know, a draft and have two teams in that scrimmage tomorrow to wrap up spring in East Lansing. Where are, beyond QB, what would you list as concern areas for Coach Smith and Michigan State football, and what areas may they have some depth?
Depth, you know, the defensive front seven. The coaches on the record and off the record are, you know, kind of been saying that the defensive front seven has been, you know, better than what they expected. And that part's been playing pretty well this spring. The linebacker positions were terribly thin last year by the end of the season. This year, you got Jordan Hall coming back as a sophomore, Cal Halliday coming back 10 pounds lighter, moving better in a scheme it's a one-gapping scheme that, you know, reduces the reads. You just have a gap you move with. You shoot the gap. It might play to his abilities a little bit more. Jordan Turner's coming in from Wisconsin, former starter, good inside linebacker. Wayne Matthews is a guy there that's done well. They're excited about a transfer from Old Dominion. Put up big numbers as an inside linebacker at Old Dominion last year. So, you know, Darius Snow is still around. There's five capable inside linebackers for two positions. There's going to be a rotation there behind what was going to be a pretty good defensive line. Now, I put an asterisk on that now because yesterday Simeon Barrow entered the transfer portal. Now, Simeon Barrow's defensive tackle started for 3 years, 2.5 years, has not been on the field, has not been in the pads this spring, played through some injuries the past 2 years, remains to be seen, you know, how much mileage he has left in the tank, but there's a lot of schools in the SEC that are looking for defensive tackles. Defensive tackles are a rare earth commodity. It's a supply and demand situation. It's a short supply of defensive tackles nationwide, and there's a lot of demand. And in this era of NIL and paying players and transfer portal, you better keep an eye on your defensive tackles because people are coming after them. Well, Simeon Barrow, a native of Georgia, has been in the portal three times. He's come back twice, but I think he's going now. So that hurts the Michigan State defensive front seven, which has looked good this spring. You take him out of there, that jostles things up a little bit. In terms of weaknesses, offensive line's a big question mark. Tanner Miller's coming in as the new center, transfers from Oregon State, second team, all Pac-12. He's a good leader in there. He's going to do pretty well. Geno Vandermark, right guard, pretty good one. Aside from that, you know, Brandon Baldwin's a returning left tackle starter. He's had some ups and downs. He needs to take a step in his development. And, you know, there's other ones that are kind of unproven. So offensive line is something I think you're going to see Michigan State back in the transfer portal here as the transfer portal window in the spring continues.
Jim Combroni, SpartanMag.com. You can follow everything leading up to, during, and after Michigan State's first spring game under Coach Jonathan Smith tomorrow. I think 2 o'clock, 12:15, gates will open up at Spartan Stadium, 2 o'clock tomorrow. That showcase, they're calling it, will take place. Comp, we'll talk Monday, look back on what you liked and didn't like from the first view of the Spartan offense, defense, and special teams.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Bill. Have a great weekend.
All right, Jim Combroni, SpartanMag.com, joining us. Rob Bentley, he is the voice of Ferris State, football, basketball, you name it. He's the voice in Big Rapids. Their spring game is tonight. Starts at 5:30, I assume, going to, what, 7:30, 8 o'clock at Top Taggart Field in Big Rapids. We'll get an update from Rob in a moment. Also about 30 minutes away from Anthony Broom from TheWolverine.com on Michigan's spring game tomorrow at noon. That is on Fox. Jim Brandstatter later. Clayton Safey from TheWolverine.com. Graham Couch, opinion maker for the Lansing State Journal. Couch and the Rube podcast will join us on the Meyer guest line. And we have our Flying Ace whiskey. Huge question of the day. What do you think of the Lions' new uniforms? 1-866-838-4843. That's 1-866-838-HUGE. At Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook, and opt in on the Roast Umber text chain, Roast Umber Coffee text chain. Just text HUGE to 21,000. That's HUGE to 21,000.
Everything huge 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
We played for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here for Van Andel Institute Purple Community. Now, they're a grassroots fundraising network powered by the volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve health now and in the future. Learn more at purplecommunity.org.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
The Huge Show is back live across Michigan, a Flying Ace Whiskey Friday. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottleneckers where you can donate to Folds of Honor Michigan directly with the QR code. That QR code, is that a code? QR code. The bottleneckers on Flying Ace Whiskey bottles all across Michigan. The money you donate will go to help our heroes, children of men and women injured or killed in combat from Michigan, and also children of our first responders who are injured or die while serving and protecting. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey Bottleneckers on bottles all across Michigan. And thank you for donating to Folds of Honor Michigan. Let's go talk about what's happening tonight in Big Rapids. Ferris State University, their spring game. Smart move to do it on a Friday night. Stay away from Michigan, Michigan State. Tomorrow, I think 5:30 p.m. will be the kick at Top Tiger Field in Big Rapids on the campus of Ferris State University. Rob Bentley is the voice of the Dogs, and he's standing by on the Meyer guest line. How you doing, my man?
Hey, huge. Great to talk with you today and doing well and getting ready for an exciting night of football.
All right, so for fans who are rolling into Big Rapids tonight for the Ferris State football spring game, what's on the schedule?
Coach Denise loves to make this an event, a little more than just the football game. Obviously, the chance for the fans coming in to watch our team play for the first time, since last fall. But, we've got some exciting things planned, some honorary captains, an honorary coach. We've also got some teams that will be recognized, and then some special halftime activities that will involve, a lot of our other championship teams here at Ferris State.
Yeah, I'm probably going to recognize the two Elite Eight men's and women's basketball squads who just wrapped up their seasons.
Yes, we definitely will. They had outstanding seasons and great postseason runs. Going to honor our men's golf team, which won the GLIAC championship last week, and hoping to honor our men's tennis team. They're in action right now, and if they get a win today, they'll clinch at least a share of the GLIAC championship. So, quite a few recent teams that had some outstanding success this second semester will be honored here tonight.
How's the football team looking? They didn't get back to the national championship game. They were looking for the trifecta, three in a row. I did see a practice last Sunday. A lot of speed, a lot of talent. What's the vibe you're getting from Coach Anise on the Ferris State football squad people can expect this fall?
I think they're excited. I think there's some great progress that's been made over the course of the spring, especially on the offensive line, where they really like what they've seen out of that group here over the course of the spring. And I think there's been a hunger, guys motivated, not that they weren't in the past, but, you lose in the first round of the playoffs, kind of like we did to, an arch rival. I think they've been motivated here throughout winter conditioning and obviously into spring ball and, look at be the best they can be, once fall camp arrives here in early August and get ready for another great schedule that we have coming up this fall.
Yeah, pretty cool schedule this fall. What's on the docket for Ferris? Obviously, the annual showdown with Grand Valley and the Anchor Bone Classic. You also have the powerful GLIAC that features huge radio network destinations like Michigan Tech, Saginaw Valley, Davenport here in the Grand Rapids area. So a lot of quality schools in this state at the D2 level.
There certainly are. And, we've got six home games coming up this fall, which is exciting for our fans, really getting a chance to watch our team here at home. You mentioned the Grand Valley game back at Lubber Stadium on October 26th. We close out the year with Saginaw Valley and Davenport here at home, back-to-back home games. But, I think right now the focus is on week zero, some new legislation in Division II football. And we've got a week zero game that was just added, going to take on Pittsburgh State, which has been, a team that's been very good the last couple years and a traditional power in Division II football. And that'll be a big challenge going on the road to open up the schedule. A couple weeks later, we've got Ashland here at home, which has been a playoff team in the past. So, some challenging games that'll really help prepare us for the start of conference play coming up here in early October.
His name is Rob Bentley. He's voice of the Dogs, Ferris State football, Tony Anise and the crew, D2 National Powerhouse in the GLIAC, 5:30 p.m. the kick. What about two and a half hours of things going on tonight at Top Tiger Field in Big Rapids?
Yeah, certainly, and it's going to be an exciting night. It's really a chance for a lot of young guys to get on the field and showcase what they can do. A lot of these guys did not play last fall, so it should be an exciting night to watch a lot of those young guys and, some veterans that will get a chance to play in front of the fans.
Rob, have a great night, my man.
Hey, thanks, Huge. Always great to talk to you.
Yeah, back at you, Rob Bentley, voice of Ferris State Sports, joining us on the Meyer guest line. Now, if you miss any Huge opinion, interview, our full show, our podcast are free, and we are everywhere, Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, Podbean, Amazon, and more. Just search The Huge Show where you download podcast.
Big, bad, huge.